shores of El Pacifico, Bill Henry.
And welcome to the world-famous Bill Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, it's a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they do not. And that's what we do every night, and it is our pleasure and it's our joy to be with you. And as I said, we're here not only on the radio and on our network of affiliates, we're also on philhenryshow.com. And that is where you can go and get a backstage pass. What is that? Well, it's a subscription. It's a pass to our live streaming video cast every night. Thousands of hours of archives, the largest archive of any single radio show anywhere on earth, as a matter of fact. The archives that we have are of full radio shows. They go back a full decade or more. We have character clips. We have a video archive. We have an archive of other miscellaneous media appearances that I've done, including television pilots, interviews, and my appearance at different weird events. And
yeah, I was looking at that one in an ass festival.
Yeah, remember you went to that ass festival? What ass festival? You guys talking about Aspen?
Or, yeah, Aspen, I'm sorry.
The ass festival.
That'd be funny, man. Give me five on that, man. Yeah, I just made a mistake. And I...
Yeah, that's very funny. That's very funny. It's very crude, and it's also very rude, and it's also not very adult, but yes, it's very funny.
Well, I mean, that's what it sounded like, you know. If you said it...
I didn't say anything. You guys said ass festival. If it's on the website, it's the Aspen Comedy Festival. And why did you bring that one up? Because that's my least favorite appearance of any I've ever done. And
why?
Well, I just didn't enjoy that panel I was on. I was on with, I shouldn't say, because they're all very funny guys, and they're all very nice guys, and except for a couple of them. But I didn't enjoy it. I just didn't enjoy it. You know why? Because I was in this room full of inflexible people, just this sort of anti-Bush crowd, and it wasn't that I was the most right-wing guy. Somebody said to me, do you want to be in a panel and talk about talk radio, the two sides of talk radio? And it turned out to be just this liberal love fest of... if I say that, then there's going to be people listening right now who think, oh, wow, Phil's a conservative like us. No, I'm not. No, I'm sorry. I'm sure you're very nice people, but I wouldn't be a conservative if somebody had a loaded shotgun to my, to my gonads.
You can't say that.
Don't tell me what I can say. In any event, go to our website. You'll like it. 877-876-PHIL. And the story that broke this weekend, I guess maybe you've heard it. If you haven't, we'll tell you. This Representative Todd Akin, we're going to talk about it with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police here in just a moment. And really, it's quite bizarre. But what it is, in a nutshell, is that Representative Todd Akin, a man who is running for the United States Senate, and he's running against the Democrat Claire McCaskill, had an interview on a St. Louis television station yesterday, Sunday, in which he was asked about whether abortion should be permitted in the case of pregnancy caused by rape. His answer was as follows. From what I understand from doctors, that's really rare, meaning pregnancy caused by rape. If it's a legitimate rape, and that's where he immediately, when he says if it's a legitimate rape, the female body has ways to try to shut that whole thing down. But let's assume that maybe that didn't work or something. I think there should be some punishment, but the punishment ought to be of the rapist and not attacking the child. Now,
I don't understand what he did wrong. Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Well, first of all, what's a legitimate rape? What's a legitimate rape as opposed to an illegitimate rape? What's an illegitimate rape?
Like if she's I don't know if she's making it up or something. Yeah, what if she's making it up?
If she's making it up, in other words, it's not a rape.
Yeah.
Then it wouldn't be a rape. It would be sex. There's no such thing as an illegitimate. If it's a legitimate rape, it's a rape. It's like saying, it reminds me of the old saying about being a little bit. Are you pregnant? Well, just a little bit. Well, you're either pregnant or you're not, and it's either a rape or it isn't. See what I'm saying?
Well, I think that's what he meant.
You don't know what he... What do you mean? Why do you think that's what he meant?
Because if he says a legitimate rape, then that's a rape.
Okay, then why doesn't he just say a rape?
Because some women will lie about it and make it up.
Then it's not a rape. If she lied about it, then it's not a rape. Am I right or am I wrong?
Yeah, but I mean, that's just a different way of saying it.
Well, it's not a very good way of saying it if you're running for the United States Senate. As a matter of fact, it leaves questions in the mind of some people. It leaves a question not as to understanding the man. It's not that's the... It, in my mind, it leaves this the following question. Who is this guy? How bright is he? To use a term like that, as a voter, I have to look at that guy and say, what exactly does this guy consider rape to be? I mean, I'm not sitting here to learn about rape from Todd Akin. I'm sitting here to learn about his abilities as a representative of the people, his prospective ability as a senator, his ability to be his own man. And, you know, I want a guy that's going to think for himself. I don't believe that politicians are there as robots to take nothing but direction from voters. That's not what a quote-unquote representative government is. Representative government, in case anybody out there is confused, and I don't mean to... You know, I don't want to give a speech here, but the representative government means you elect a man to or woman to go to Washington, and you rely on their good judgment based upon what you understand of them in terms of their philosophy, political philosophy, their views on life, their competency, and so forth. You rely on them to represent, you know, properly. That doesn't mean they have to, you know, follow your every directive.
What's the point of electing them then?
What, you know, I don't want to talk to you guys, right? Because you guys confuse the hell out of me.
Yeah, but you got to remember that.
I'll remember. Don't worry. I'll remember to explain things to you. So that's what a representative government is. So I'm listening to a guy like Todd Akin and say, well, how often can I get him on the phone? Man, that's not why I'm voting for this guy. How often I can get him? How often, hey, you, Todd, why weren't you there when I called? Because I want to give you my direction on how you should vote on this bill. No. Because what if he says to you, well, Mr. Voter, I appreciate that very much, but based upon the debate we had last night, well into the early morning hours, 2 a.m., or based upon some of the information that I've seen from the intelligence that we've gathered, which is only from my eyes and not yours, and I'm sorry, but that's kind of the way it works, or based upon this or based upon that, I'm afraid I need to go. I think what would be best for my state and for my district is to go in this direction. Thank you very much. Well, wait just a minute. You know, that's what I want.
You want a guy that's going to, like, maybe not do what you want?
How do I know what I want, man, if I don't have all the facts? He does.
Yeah, what if he does something that you don't like?
Then that, see, that's why you want to know a lot about a guy's intelligence and his ability to... make decisions. You want to know, is he really firmly rooted in, for instance, conservative or progressive philosophy? Is he going to see everything through that and therefore act accordingly? In American politics, folks, just like in the American military, we have a tradition of taking initiative. You know, they said that that's one of the reasons why we won World War II, because the commanders had initiative, whereas the German commanders had to wait for Adolf to get out of bed.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. No, I'm not kidding. I'm not. I'm being literal.
They had to wait for him to get up?
On D-Day, they had to wait for Adolf to get out of bed before they could order the panzers to the coast. Yeah, meanwhile, there was all kinds of American commanders, colonels, generals, all these guys said, well, I don't know where the hell we are, but let's start from here and let's go and do here and we'll go there and go there. We allow them to do that. Same thing in politics. We allow initiative, individual initiative. That's the American way. Now, so I look at this guy Akin, and I hear this guy Akin, and I think, I got myself a real, this guy's a dim bulb. If he's saying, well, legitimate rape. Now what happened after the comment? Denying rape survivors a right to abortion is hard to defend. Challenging whether reported rapes are, quote, legitimate is downright retro. And the suggestion that getting pregnant means you weren't really raped is so stupid and offensive, it's almost unbelievable, even for a congressman. Within hours, Republicans recognized that Akin had created a huge, potentially fatal political problem with women. Actually, the damage goes deeper. Abortion for rape victims isn't just a woman's issue, it's a crime issue. Rape has always played this role in the abortion debate. If you're a pro-choice candidate running against a pro-lifer, you can motivate your base by talking about women's rights. You can pick up some independence by arguing that the government shouldn't interfere in private decisions. But to cut into your opponent's support, to pry away voters who are socially conservative, you need a sharper angle. That angle is rape. The logic is brutally simple. Rape victims didn't choose to have sex. This exempts them from the common conservative notion that women should live with the consequences of their choices. And this exemption, in turn, transforms the virgin-whore dichotomy into a weapon against pro-lifers. It also turns the culture of law and order against them. It puts them in the politically untenable, though morally consistent, position of defending the result of a violent crime. That's why Aiken bought and peddled the idea that legitimate rape victims can shut down pregnancy. Pregnancy from rape violates his righteous understanding of nature.
Wow.
Right. So when we come back, we'll have Jay Santos on the line from the Citizens Auxiliary Police to talk with us about this. We'll find out what he's got another operation. This is Operation Oversight. This will be the third one that the Citizens Auxiliary Police have put into play. They will be in different outdoor cafes, coffee shops, bistros this week with Operation Oversight. We'll talk to Jay Santos about that. Coming back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
You're going to drink it. Oh, come on, man.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-7445. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. On the line with me now is Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. All right, so Jay, you heard our rollout there about Todd Aiken.
That's correct.
And you guys have another Operation Oversight this weekend as a result of that?
Phil, for the most part, you know, I had a meeting with Major Elvis Newton on Sunday evening, probably around 6, 7 o'clock at night, when we had gotten the first reports of Representative Aiken's comments. And it was at that time that Major Newton indicated to me and asked for me to put the ball rolling. I'm outside tonight, Phil, if you can hear me.
We can hear you fine.
All right. To get the ball rolling on organizing I'm a little bit nervous, dude.
No, you're doing fine, Jay.
To get the ball rolling on Operation Oversight for this late August period, and it was the major's feeling that the Representative Aiken had said something that needed to be explained, because I think what's going to happen. There's going to be a lot of people who are saying, look, sort of what you're saying tonight, what's legitimate rape? What's legitimate rape? And I think two gentlemen that you have with you tonight, Mr. Leonard and Mr. Dickman, I think they touched on it, although perhaps they could have put it a bit more elegantly. But legitimate rape is a actual rape, as opposed to a woman who may be... Phil, I don't believe this. I'm saying this is what Representative Aiken thinks, is a woman that might be, you know, flirting or flaunting or wearing a kind of a sex outfit that is going to attract.
All right. Well, you know, that's exactly the kind of thing I want to talk here about. And I also want to get into the Operation Oversight aspect. This idea, and, you know, it's very interesting that we're in the year 2012, the idea that a woman's asking for it.
Well, again, Phil, I'm not saying that I necessarily agree with any of the things that Representative Aiken is saying. I'm just giving you what he meant by that, so that people understand the context and are able to make their decisions for them based on the context. And
all right, well, understanding the context, so that what he believes, what the congressman believes, is that a woman asking for it isn't raped, correct?
I believe that's what he meant, yeah.
So a woman who is wearing a sexy outfit is...
You know, again, it's hard for me to... I'm just trying to explain it. If she's with her girlfriends, she's wearing wearing sexy panties or something like that, then she's going to have a guy who's going to be interested in it. And he's going to want to have it. And
And if she's attacked and she's forced into a sexual act, that's not rape.
I believe that that's what Representative Aiken is saying.
And by you explaining this, what does that do?
Well, I think, first of all, what Major Newton was talking about, Phil, and this gets into Operation Oversight, by explaining it, I think we can defuse potential arguments. We can defuse potentially combative situations among people. We can help facilitate conversation, or at least help facilitate. Yeah, yes, sir. Facilitate the conversation so that there isn't rancor and so on and so forth.
We're talking with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, Operation Oversight, going into effect this weekend. So what is Operation Oversight?
Operation Oversight, Phil, which we've done three or four, I think, since I've been coming on your program, is simply groups of two or three sub-commanders who will be with one of these Citizens Auxiliary Police officer cadets. We go into restaurants, we go into bistros, we go into any public place where people are sitting and talking. It could be outside of the promenade malls. Have you ever been down here to the promenade mall? And Major Newton, who had gone with his wife to, I think they'd gone to listen to a high school band play at one of the promenade malls, he said a lot of people sit there. And so we went down and saw that there was a gathering of people. And,
So you guys go into these areas.
That's correct. We go into these areas, and we will then listen to the conversation. It's nothing invasive. It will be something as simple as just taking a table or a chair next to someone's table or chair and listen to what they're talking about. If we do hear the name Congressman Aiken or anything having to do with legitimate rape, then, of course, we will take a few notes to see if they're on course. If they start arguing about he's an idiot. In other words, what we're trying to do is...
Well, I mean, a lot of people are going to think he's an idiot.
Well, but yeah, and that's why we want to explain to them, well, no, here's what he meant.
And what if they still think he's an idiot?
Well, I mean, we're there simply to facilitate a conversation and not have no rancor or
yeah. Yeah, but what I'm saying, Jay, is I appreciate the effort being made by the Citizens Auxiliary Police to facilitate, as you say, conversation, communication. It's a good thing. But if you explain to someone that Representative Aiken, when he said legitimate rape, what he really meant was women who are asking for it because they're with their girlfriends dressed all sexy and they're in the wrong place, the wrong time, this and that. That's an illegitimate rape. People may still think he's an idiot.
I didn't really follow what you just said there, Phil. I hope that's what I was saying.
I think that I was repeating what you said. Isn't that what you think the representative believes?
What I think the representative believes, and why I wanted to get out with Operation Oversight and tell everyone, because we want to carry the message before a lot of these fights start, arguments fight. What the congressman said was illegitimate rape. That's a rape that she was sort of enjoying, and so
then that's okay. That's not a rape.
I'm just telling you what Representative Aiken probably meant.
Okay.
And so that's what we would say if people say, "Well, he was saying legitimate rape." And I'm going, and I'd say, well, I understand that. And he's, we don't think he's very smart. And I would say at that point, well, be careful how you talk about people and everything. And
you're going to caution people on how they're going to talk about this guy? I mean, I just think it's...
Well, hold on, Phil, because one of the reasons why we're here is to save lives and try to prevent anything happening that could be injurious. And we're just saying a legitimate rape, what the Congressman Aiken means is maybe she, if she is illegitimate rape, then she probably enjoy it.
And his idea of that is that if a woman enjoys sex, she's going to get pregnant. If she doesn't, then somehow she doesn't get pregnant.
That's what he thinks. I think later on he said, no, that isn't true. And
right, but he already said it, and his no, that isn't true came after this legitimate rape comment. All right, Jay Sanis with us on the citizen on the Phil Hendry Show, Citizens Auxiliary Police. Our number 877-876-7445. In trying to explain Representative Aiken's comments, Jay, aren't you letting yourself into a situation that you don't need? Because aren't they indefensible?
Well, I'm not defending them. I'm explaining them. See, that's a big difference, Phil. I think that's something your audience needs to understand. I'm not defending them. I'm explaining them. And in explaining them, then people will say, well, you're not attacking me. At least you're not attacking me.
All right. In explaining the comments of Representative Aiken, Jay Sanis said that what he meant was an illegitimate rape is a woman who obviously was enjoying the act, and so that's what Representative Aiken meant. Operation Oversight. The Citizens Auxiliary Police will be back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. Jay, you there?
Yes, I'm right here.
All right, this story, you know, it's very possible this story is just now, you know, I just realized this story is only about 24 hours old. I thought it was more, it was longer than that. I've got Erica on the line. Erica?
Hi.
Hi, Erica. The story's actually just broke yesterday, so it doesn't surprise me that you haven't heard that much about it. I think a lot of people have, but essentially what it is...
Okay, can I explain to her?
Go ahead. This is Jay Sanis.
Hi, Erica. Erica, this is Jay Sanis, the Citizens Auxiliary Police. The story is that Representative Aiken is running for the United States Senate in Missouri.
Okay.
And he was being interviewed on a television program yesterday in St. Louis where he was said, or he said that in the kid, they said, do you think a woman who is raped, should she be allowed to have an abortion? And he said, in the case of legitimate rape, a woman's body shuts down the ability to have a baby, and meaning, you know, that, and I'm not saying I agree with this, I'm just saying that that's what he said.
Oh, okay.
And one of the things that got him in trouble was the line, legitimate rape. And I was thinking, and I said to Phil, and that's where we're going to do an operation oversight, where we're sort of overhearing what people are saying in coffee shops. Well, what he meant to say was, if a woman is, you know, all dressed up sexy and a guy, you know, takes advantage of her, is that really rape?
And you think that's what the congressman meant?
I think so, yeah.
And you think if you explain that to, see, you just explained that to Erica. What do you think of that, Erica?
Well, yeah, no, and I actually, that's kind of why I called, was to get a little bit more insight, because I kind of, like, switched on the station, you know, and caught half of it, and I'm kind of like, it, you know, I didn't really understand exactly what, I don't understand what illegitimate rape and legitimate rape is, what the difference is, because there really, in my opinion, there is no legitimate rape.
Right. Well, this is why it's a controversy, because most people agree with you, including myself. And this is why, when the congressman said that...
Well, stupid Phil, what's happening here now is you're fostering misunderstanding, or you're fostering angry feelings on a part of Erica where I'm trying to build a bridge. And
well, no, I'm not. She's just wanted clarification.
Erica, what I'm saying is the congressman meant that she's asking for it. You know what I mean by that?
Well, my opinion is, you know, and I'm not a very, you know, like, I don't dress very, you know, I dress conservative, but yes, at the same time, you know, like, I believe at the same time that a woman has the right to feel and dress a certain way about herself without having to be attacked.
Course.
You shouldn't have a certain message, you know, and when you have that certain message, and it'd be agreeable, you know?
Well, Mr. Hendry, you're encouraging her comments by going, yes, yes. Can you just not make any comment?
I'm agreeing with her.
I know, but that causes her to be more and more and more and more against, you know.
Against what? Against the congressman?
Well, all I'm trying to do is say to her, he meant if she's asking for it, and then let it go with that, and that way there won't have to be no argument.
Oh, no, no. I'm not saying I dress that way, or I'm just saying we should be able to have the freedom to dress however we want, and people out there, whether it be man or woman, should have control over themselves not to attack and learn the word no.
Yes. That. Why can't I say I agree with her?
Because you're the talk show host, and you're fomenting a disagreement. And what Congressman Aiken was trying to do is just say, you know, what's a guy supposed to do if she's asking for it? And
what is this asking for? Yeah, you know, that is a term from the 1950s, man. That ain't even from any time recent. And
I would say, Phil, that there on a lot of programs you've chastised me about my grammar, and you just went, that ain't even. You see what I'm saying? So,
all right, I apologize. You know, I'm not even talking about that right now.
Well, you've said to me that I use double negatives, and you're all that ain't, you know. And
Jay, are you really opposed to what Representative Aiken said, or are you just simply trying to defend him while not defending him?
Well, I don't know what that means.
What I'm saying is you're going to go out with this operation, whatever the hell the thing is. What's it called?
Operation Oversight.
Operation Oversight. We're going to be overhearing people's comments, and if they say something that, like, if they sound like Erica, what are you going
to
say?
I would simply go up to them and say, you're sort of making comment, you know, you don't understand what the senator means, what the congressman means. Here's what he meant. Could you please not talk about it because you're going to spread misunderstanding?
And what would you think of that, Erica?
Well, basically what I'm putting out there is kind of going way beyond what the congressman has even said. I'm just going back to basic socialization and what people are, you know, doing out there every day, every minute. I'm just, okay, when I said I dress the way I dress or whatever, I am literally tattooed, pierced, and I teach young adolescent girls that come from abused homes. I work at a girls' group home. I teach them to cover up their stuff, and I teach them these exact messages like, hey, you're sending a signal. But at the same time, I do believe that we should be able to walk around and look however we want without being forcefully, forced into sex because of what we look like.
Watch the F word if you don't mind.
I know, I'm sorry. You shouldn't put yourself, it doesn't matter what a person looks like. Don't force your opinion or your persuasions, you know?
But what does that do to the congressman now? That makes him sound like he's a rapist.
The congressman's problem. You know, that's the congressman's problem.
That's the Well, and by the way, the young lady, and I think you're very well spoken, but you called him a congressman?
Congressman, yeah, sorry.
She meant to say congressman.
Yes, I did, aggressive and really worked up and things come out a certain way, you know?
She misspoke.
Well,
all right. Thank you very much, Erica. Where do you work? Work with are these girls that are runaway or have no homes or?
It's a combination. It's probation and CPS. Yeah,
I got you.
Depends,
all right.
You know.
All right. Well, I appreciate it very much. Thank you for your call tonight. 877-876-7445. Phil Hendry Show.
I thought, Phil, that that's what I'm talking about. You're being a little bit unfair because you're talking to her after the fact about tell me all about what you do. And that makes her sound like she's better, first of all, than me, and also...
Well, no, it doesn't. I asked her. I thought it was very interesting when she said that she's got tats, she's pierced, and a lot of the girls she deals with are. But by the same token, you stand up for yourself.
Well, I know, but most of this is sort of anti-male.
Oh, no, it's not anti-male. How's it anti-male?
Because you're talking... You had this young lady on your program, Mr. Trina. I'm out there with Operation Oversight, and I don't hear anyone saying to me, you know, that you're doing a good job. And
the job you're doing, I'm not very clear on, and what I'm understanding, I don't like. The fact is...
What don't you like about someone who's trying to... See, I think it's very unfair for you to say that she is... You want to know more about how she's talking to girls that are out there smoking cigarettes when they're 13 and they got tattoos on their... you should see some of these girls, Mr. Henry. They'll have a tattoo all over their body in areas that are, that are on the breast and on the buttock. There are areas of these young ladies.
Well, we're not talking now about the young ladies and how they get tattooed and dressed. We're talking about Representative Aiken saying there's such a thing as legitimate rape. And by the way, Rape remark upsets Republican women. This is from the San Francisco Chronicle. A powerhouse donor to Mitt Romney, Jillian Manis Salzman, a powerhouse donor to Mitt Romney's presidential campaign and a proud pro-choice Republican, said she screamed when she heard Todd Akin of Missouri say that there was such a thing as legitimate rape. She's a pro-choice Republican. She supports Mitt Romney.
Well, I don't know. You know, that sounds like a Democrat to me.
But she's not. She's a Republican. She's supporting Mitt Romney. She's supporting Mitt Romney with money. And she is completely put off by this guy, Akin. All right, 877-876-7445 is the number here in the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're going to get some phone calls here. Margaret Gray, who's written a series of articles on who wrote a series of articles on the Obama campaign and covered it extensively for A Little Bird Told Me, Dicklin Syndicate, is on the line with us right now. Margaret, you've been listening to these comments.
Well, hold on. I'm familiar with this lady. What is the Dicklin? And
Bill, I'd be happy.
Go ahead, Margaret.
Yes. Hi. Is this Mr. Santos?
Yeah, I was just asking Mr. Henry about Dicklin.
The Frangelica Dicklin is the owner of the Dicklin Syndicate. It is a syndicate of writers. Okay.
Right, but I'm put off by the name, and it sounds like, you know, is that a maiden name, or is she taking the name Dicklin because she wants to be all, you know, liberated and everything? I don't know.
You really, Mr. Santos, there's so much to say to you, and really so little time. So it's not, never has there ever been a truer statement than that.
All I'm asked about is the Dicklin.
That's the woman's last name.
Her last name is Frangelica Dicklin. She owns this publishing company.
Well, you don't want me to be nitpicky, but you just said publishing.
What are you talking? What's the problem?
Oh my God! Mr. Henry, you're singling me out because I'm defending a conservative.
Excuse me, Mr. Santos. This is Margaret Day. I don't want to single you out, but you're nitpicking. You said to the young lady that she called the representative a congressman. She obviously misspoke. And now you are saying that Mr. Henry said what?
I heard Mr. Henry say publishing. I don't know what that is. Do you?
He misspoke.
I didn't. I misspoke. Exactly.
All right. That's fine. All I'm doing is asking questions. All I want to do is facilitate communication. That's all I want to do. And facilitate communication, and I get yelled at for that reason, all right.
Well, I just think it's ridiculous, Phil, and I do have some things to say to this man.
All right, hold on. I'm going to give you all the time in the world to say it, Margaret. We do have to take a break.
Well, I don't...
All right. We have to take a break.
I don't think it's fair to put me on the air and then say we're taking a break.
Unfortunately, that's what we have to do. And as soon as we come back from the break, you will be the first one up. I will hear from your comments. I will hear from you, Ms. Gray, and we will get your comments. And we will continue with Jay Santos and you and the Citizens Auxiliary Police as we talk about Representative Todd Akin and the comments that have sunk his campaign. It's basically gotten Claire McCaskill reelected in Missouri. But the bigger issue is, has it now begun to reverberate out nationally as an example of the conservative core's view on women, and a rather uneducated one that it is, women and crime? 877-876-7445 is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
I'm going to be on the radio, and then we can take the limousine.
Phil Henry Show.
877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, Margaret Gray on the line from the Dicklin Syndicate, A Little Bird Told Me, as we talk about Representative Todd Akin's comment on television in St. Louis last night. I'm sure it's been all over talk radio, and we, of course, are going to deal with it here. And the comment was that if a woman, the question was asked of him, you know, what do you think about women? Should they be allowed to have abortions in the cases of rape? And he said, in a case of legitimate rape, the woman's body produces certain hormones or chemicals, however he put it, that can shut that down. He found out later, and I don't think there were any doctors listening who believed that that was the case.
There was one, Phil. There was this doctor, I don't know his name, Dr. Waite, who actually had endorsed that viewpoint a few years ago, so that when Representative Aiken came on today on the Hannity hour and said that I found out that isn't true in the writing on Slate, they said that there was Aiken throwing Dr. Waite under the bus. So this man Aiken is not only stupid, he is disloyal, and threw the man under the bus. Hold on for a minute. I want to just make a statement here. First of all, Representative Aiken, all he said was, in a case of legitimate rape, okay? And what is this is the thing we've been trying to explain to you. Right. Well, you say he's disloyal, threw a guy on a bus. And he threw this man, Waite, under the bus.
No, I saw the comments. This guy, Waite, this doctor, I don't know what kind of a doctor he is. He's the only doctor I ever heard of that endorses this this idea that a woman under stress will automatically create some sort of a biochemical reaction, autonomous though it may be, or autonomic though it may be, that prevents conception. And then Aiken came on.
Yeah, see, you're not even clear, Mr. Henry, going, and all that. Let him finish.
Hold on for a minute, Jay. And Representative Aiken was on the Sean Hannity show. He said, I found out that isn't true. So that's what you mean about throwing him under the bus?
Yes. He threw the man under. I mean, he didn't just throw him under the bus. He put the man's head under the front tire and then got into the seat himself and floored the bus. Oh, God.
Well, that's a little graphic.
Well, it may be graphic, but true.
877-876-7445. We'll go to a phone call here. On the line, we have Eunice. Hello, Eunice. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Jay Santos and Margaret Gray. Go ahead, sir.
The thing is that when Congressman Aiken says that it's legitimate rape, there's no difference between illegitimate rape and legitimate rape. Rape is rape. On the other hand, is that if Aiken say, I'm sorry, Congressman Aiken says that legitimate rape, it is a way of suppressing and oppressing women. That is done out in some third world countries whereby they say that, hey, you know what, let's rape these women. And that's the government doing that. It orders soldiers to go and rape women as a way of punishing the women and the masses. America should not be taken into such a dark age whereby women are raped, whereby you start defining between legitimate rape, that is sanctioned by the government, and illegitimate, yeah, which is done by the other citizens. America is a prosperous country that is way ahead of that.
Jay?
Well, I don't think Representative Aiken was going so far as to endorse some kind of a regressive or totalitarian government view of rape. I think he was simply trying to say, Eunice, in your travels, haven't you ever seen a woman that's got, you know, a tight pair of pants on, that kind of deal? Yeah. Well.
Hey, you there, Eunice?
I'm here. Did you hang up on me? I think he hung up.
No, he didn't hang up. You there, Eunice?
I'm here.
Did you hear Mr. Santos's comments?
No, I didn't hear that, sir.
Well, what he asked was, have you ever seen a woman in, he says that.
I'd like to do it, Mr. Henry.
Go ahead.
I want to do it.
Go ahead, do it.
Well, you're doing it for me, and I want to do it.
You can talk to the man.
All right. Can you hear me, Eunice? Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police, sir. Can you hear me?
I can hear you clearly, sir.
Okay, sir. I think what Representative Aiken was saying was basically that legitimate rape is rape. Illegitimate rape is when the woman is got on a tight pair of pants and she's showing it. She's showing, you know what I mean? And so,
is that all you can say about?
You talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you. Is that it?
Well, I'm just saying what Representative Aiken meant.
So a woman is given when okay. she's. When, go ahead.
Well, no. What I said was
rape. Unless you take it to the next level in court, whereby it will be with their penetration, and penetration means that without consent, that is rape. So you cannot tell me that the way my sister, the way my mother, the way other women around the world dress is that you should invite somebody to be raped.
Right.
That is not
the point.
I understand, sir. I understand, sir. But I'm just simply trying to explain how Representative Aiken.
Okay, so we know now how Representative Aiken thinks, and we still think he's stupid.
Well, I don't think that's very. What do you mean, we? What, you got a rocket in your pocket? I mean,
I'm talking about Eunice and me, and other people that have called. We're all of a like mind. We do not believe that this is anything other than rape.
Right, but Representative Aiken disagrees.
Fine. So guess what? I don't want to vote for him.
Well, that's not fair. That's not fair. You know, you should vote for him, even though he, well.
Why am I going to vote for a guy if he thinks like that?
Because, Eunice, you understand me, right?
Yes, I do understand you clearly, yes.
Okay, so wouldn't you vote for Representative Aiken, even though he believes that if a woman's, showing it, that's
not
rape?
No, I would never vote for him. I would never vote for him,
never?
No.
See, that's not fair. I don't think you're giving her an even shake.
What are you talking about? Why?
I think that if I explained it to you, now you know what he means. He doesn't mean what you think. Well, he does mean what you think he means, but he's not being an ass about it, I guess. And
I think he was a complete ass about it. Eunice, thanks for your call. Yep. Going to take a break. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Jay Santos, is Margaret Gray still there?
Yes, God Almighty, I was told I could say something, and...
All right, hold on, we'll be right back.
Yeah, sure, you're a lion.
I mean, I'm sorry,
Phil Henry.
No, you're not. No, you're not sorry at all.
Yes, I am.
No, you are not.
From the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Henry.
All right, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. You know, I just noticed, let me just first of all get us into the hour. Welcome, thank you for being with us here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is also available by way of our videocast at philhenryshow.com. You can watch a nightly videocast on Phil TV in HD. It is in high definition. What do you call a video kind of deal, right?
Yeah, it's like, it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
It looks pretty good. In any event, so you can do that. You can access our very large archive of audio. And a couple of other things to note. We have a new Milwaukee Lion game in the archive. The Lions played yesterday in preseason. Jack Igagdor and Brett Morrison were on hand. Touch Gerber, their spotter, got into it with them, as well as Mrs. Edna Gerber, who is now part of the ownership group of the Milwaukee Lions, and apparently there was a contretemps at halftime between Jack, Mrs. Gerber, and her son Touch, who she prefers to be called Wilhelm.
Yeah, I thought it would be Wilhelm, man. And at the end, though, Jack, you know, he's like cursing.
Yeah, Jack, I gagged her, get in trouble.
Well, I don't want to give away too much, but yeah, Jack got into some, he let her have it at the end of the game. The Lions, well, just listen to the game. Don't tell them what happened in the game, but I told you, no scores. Do you understand? Because some people are still downloading the game. It's only preseason, but still, you know. Anyway, I noticed as we were coming back on, I'm getting more and more used to these freaking Dr. Dean Adele glasses, and it's scaring the hell out of me.
They look like crap.
They do look like crap. I mean, they look great, Doc. I got to get over to the pharmacy and get another pair. All right. We have been talking here on the Phil Henry Show about Representative Todd Aiken and his comments concerning rape. Jay Santos with us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Margaret Gray, I promised, would be able to say some things. We came on and after the last break, Jay, and we didn't give her a chance to talk, and I really believe that it is incumbent upon me to allow her to say some things.
I understand what you're saying, Phil, but you brought me on as a guest, and I don't think I've been allowed to give quite my total view on this, because...
I asked you at the end of the hour, Jay...
Can I finish what I'm going to say?
You can... Hold on. I asked you at the end of the hour, if you're here to explain, and Operation Oversight is to explain to people what Congressman Aiken meant by legitimate rape, and you explained that what he meant was a legitimate rape is a woman that wasn't asking for it.
yeah, I mean, I that's not all I said.
No, I understand that, but basically that's a woman that's asking for it. That's not really a rape or illegitimate. If and I said to you, well, if I decide I don't want to vote for Representative Aiken based on that, you think that isn't fair?
All I wanted to do with Operation Oversight is be able to give Congressman, you know, Congressman. I didn't call him Congressman, by the way. Now I'm saying Congressman. But that other lady said that too, you know. And
what is with this Congressman thing?
You know, all he's trying to do is to deflect criticism away from himself. Please don't tell me what I'm thinking. Please don't tell me what I'm thinking. I think that you're trying to deflect criticism by these ridiculous little arguments about Congressman and the mispronunciation. And what Mr. Henry said last hour about publishing, I think what it is you cannot defend your position. Not my position, ma'am. I told you is a position of Representative Aiken. Now I'm trying to explain.
You explained it, man, but what do you think is going to happen after you explain it? When you explain to someone a man's position, and the position is indefensible, and that's the case. Every Republican is flying the coop from this guy. Romney wants nothing to do with this guy. The party has pulled its funding from this guy. He sounds like an idiot. He sounds as radical in his beliefs as I mean, I don't know. I don't want you to compare it to. I don't want to say he's as radical as a Jeremiah Wright, but he's just as goofy. He's just as kooky. And frankly, with his opinions, he's just as dangerous.
You talk about Jeremiah Wright. That man was a racist, okay? A racist. Well, this man is sexist. This man is anti-woman. No, you can say nothing about being anti-woman.
All right, so what you're saying now, Jay, is this. You're saying, oh, well, you know, I'm not saying I agree with the congressman.
But she just said that Congressman Aiken is a racist. Or I did not say that.
No, she didn't. She said he's sexist.
I'm sorry, that's why, man. She said he's sexist. You said Congressman Aiken's sexist. Did you say that?
Yes, I said that he is sexist, yes.
And yet, what Mr. Henry and I were talking about Jeremiah Wright, and I said he is racist, but you're saying the same thing about Congressman Aiken.
And no, she isn't.
I did not say Congressman Aiken is a racist. I did not say that.
What did you say about Jeremiah Wright?
She didn't say anything about Jeremiah. Are you, Jay, I'm beginning to think you're as dumb as this guy Aiken.
Oh, well, okay. I mean, if you want to start calling me names or anything. I
have to agree with Mr. Henry. Mr. Santos, sir, that last comment you just made is unbelievable. To say that I said something I didn't say.
Mr. Henry just insulted me, saying that I'm stupid.
Well, Jay, you got to be dumb if you said what you just said. Aiken said what he said. It is I can see how it could be interpreted as a sexist remark. It's certainly ignorant. And what you have been saying here, talking about Jeremiah Wright and the comparison with this guy Aiken and saying that Ms. Gray is racist, I don't think you've got an argument. The other thing is that you said you were here to clarify, not here to agree. It sounds to me like you agree with him.
I do not agree with Representative Aiken. I never have had agreed with him, and I never will.
Well, you may not agree with him, but you were very much taking his part and his side in this conversation.
Do you think there's such a thing as legitimate rape?
Do I think there's such a thing as what?
Is there such a thing as legitimate rape?
If you're in a country where it's legal, then you have to say it's legal.
What is this man?
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
I said, I can repeat myself.
I didn't ask you about legal. Legitimate. When we say legitimate, what we mean is that we're talking about morality now. We're not even talking about law. We're talking about morality. We're talking about...
What do you mean, morality? That's the same thing. We're talking about law. It's morality. It's America. American law is moral.
I'd like to think that American law is moral, sir, but I'm taking law out of it now. We're talking about just the moral facet of rape. It is it's an assault, it is a crime, and it's a vile crime. It's assault, man. It's like a beating. It's like an attempted murder in a lot of ways. Do you think that there is such a thing as legitimate rape?
Oh my God, he's thinking about it. Excuse me, you mind if I just... What do you have to think about?
I got to agree. What are you thinking about?
I'm. When you said I couldn't bring up illegal, I don't agree with Representative Aiken.
Then you don't agree there's such a thing as legitimate rape.
I do not, no.
Then that's all you had to say.
But, yeah, but if I... The reason why I'm taking my time is, if I agree there is no such thing as legitimate rape, now I sound like one more, and yes, in my private life I am conservative. I don't bring it to work with me, and I don't identify citizens' auxiliary police with it. But if I say that I agree with you and that Representative Aiken is wrong, that's one more conservative that's deserting him, and I feel bad about that.
Oh, well, the poor guy, why don't you send him a present?
Why don't you shut up, you know? And
no, I don't think I will shut up. I mean, you sound childish.
And I feel like I'm deserting him. I feel like he could use support and the friendship that he needs. And
well, maybe he does need support. Maybe he does need friendship. That's what his wife and that's what his friends are for. And I'm sure he has a good base of support. I'm sure he is going through whatever it is he's going through right now. He realizes that his, my God, this guy's political career is probably over. It's not as bad as Anthony Weiner.
Well, yeah, it's just, that's the other thing. A lot of people are trying to make this out like it's Weiner. And Weiner is the guy who sent pictures of his private area and showed it off to a girl. And this man, all he said was what a lot of what he said. And I feel if I agree, I'm zerring him.
Did you agree with Anthony Weiner being able to send his, well, he's a Democrat.
No, not at all. But if I was a Democrat, I would still say no, but I would feel like I need to support him in a time of trauma. And
yeah, real traumatic, man. You got caught lying about sending your stuff to pictures of your stuff to some chicks. Yeah, that's very, very sad. Hang on, 877-876-7445. More comment on this story and others as we move ahead here this evening, because there's all kinds of different angles. As Romney enjoys, here's an angle here. Wait a minute, where are we? Aiken's rape remark aids Democrats' war on women theme. There's a few other stories that have been spun off of this, and they're all Todd Aiken's rape fiasco. Todd Aiken walks away from the female body has ways of stopping rape-related pregnancy theory and more. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Not attractive at all. Not
World-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, a wide-ranging conversation we're having this evening with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, as well as Margaret Gray from the Dicklin Syndicate and A Little Bird Told Me. And there I am with those glasses. We're on Phil TV and HD at philhendryshow.com. If you've got a backstage pass, you can watch us.
Well, I'm looking at you. You look very good in those glasses. I'm looking at a picture too, Phil, and I think they work on you. They really do.
Well, I think they look. They make me look old.
And by the way, Mr. Santos, I really want to keep this on a professional level. I think you commenting on Mr. Henry's glasses, Phil agrees with me. And
well, I can take his compliment on the glasses.
All I'm trying to do is compliment Mr. Henry on the glasses. I understand, but Phil agrees with me. And in agreeing with me, I think he has thrown in with my point of view, and I don't think he's looking for, well, it's probably petty of me.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with him giving me a compliment about the glasses.
Well, all right, I think it's disingenuous. Why is it disingenuous?
Why?
Because I think he's, to use the term that the kids use, he's sucking up, he's, what do the kids say? He's sticking his lips on it and giving it a suck, you know?
Okay, all right, the kids don't talk that way. I think they just say in fact, it isn't a kid term at all.
Well, what is it they say? He's putting his lips around it and giving it a...
All right, I understand.
I didn't say anything in the short. All I was trying to do is tell Mr. Henry I thought it looked good, but the glasses, if you don't want me to talk about it, fine, I won't.
Well, don't be a child about it.
Well, what I'm trying to do...
All right, Jay, thank you very much. I do appreciate that. We're talking with Jay Santos and Margaret Gray. I wanted to point your attention to a couple of articles. We'll take another call here. And because, like I said, there's a lot of different takes on this. Now, I have to be honest with you, Jay, you say that you don't defend the congressman's remarks, and but you're trying to explain what he meant. But if what you're saying is true, then even in explaining what he meant, he's got no prayer. Because if he's saying that legitimate rape is when a woman is not asking for it, and she was really raped, then I only point us back to the original comments made by caller Erica, who said, you know, we're women and we ought to be able to wear what we want and not worry about some man not being able to control himself because he is, you know, he's some kind of a psychopath. Aiken's rape remark aids Democrats' war on women theme. U.S. Senate candidate Todd Aiken's comment that legitimate rape rarely leads to pregnancy gave Democrats a fresh line of attack in their election year theme about a Republican war on women as Mitt Romney worked to distance his presidential campaign from the remarks. So there you have Mitt Romney distancing himself from those remarks.
And I think that that is, you know, is his legitimate right, but I want to be one conservative who doesn't immediately go running for the hills every time one of us makes a comment that if we can't stand, if we're looking at, well, I said that I don't want to bring politics in, or I don't want to bring politics in it.
All right, 877-876-7445. Let's get Larry Grover on the line now. Larry Grover calling from Culver City, California, and we're going to talk with Larry. You said you had a personal view on this.
Yeah, I do, Phil, and thank you very much for taking my call, and good evening to your other callers, to Ms. Gray.
Good evening.
And to Mr. Santos.
Yes, sir.
Phil, this is a very, very personal question. This is a very personal topic for me because of a weekend that I spent with my wife, Marcy, and we had gotten a cottage over here at the Ellen Condo Inn up here in Santa Barbara, and we were going away for our anniversary, and we went up to the Ellen Condo Inn in Santa Barbara, and I was with my wife, who I love, or loved, past tense.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, who said that?
I'm sorry, Larry. I just said I'm sorry to hear that you don't love your wife anymore.
Well, we've been separated for a long time, so it is kind of sad, though. Well, I appreciate the comment. I appreciate the sentiment, but I can tell you that I feel much healthier. I feel better off. I just feel a lot better not having her in my world. But I wanted to, if I can continue.
Go ahead.
We went up to the Ellen Condo Inn, and Marcy and I got a cabin, and she got a bottle of champagne. It was our anniversary, and she got a bottle of champagne, and we began to have we began to neck and make have some fun there. And I'll tell you, when it happens to you, and please hear me out because I know a little bit about what I'm talking about. I was being coy with her, and I was leading her on a little bit, in a very sexual way. And I was plying her with champagne, and I was encouraging her to drink and to, loosen up and this kind of thing. But I did not anticipate in my wildest dreams what would happen when we eventually did go to bed.
Now, you're talking about your wife.
I'm talking about Marcy, my wife, yeah.
Okay.
She took the handle of... This is very difficult.
Oh, God. You know, I don't really want to hear...
Well, if you don't want to hear a story that has everything to do with what you're talking about...
Well, I don't... Go ahead.
She took the handle of her hairbrush, and without even so much as a warning, she put Vaseline on it, and all I can tell you is I was shaking. I ran from the room. I wrapped the sheet around me from the bed, and I leaned against the wall and I cried.
Did she, and I got to be very gentle here. Did she actually use this on you?
No, she did not. I was able to get out of the room in time. But I remember I spent the night outside in the cold. It was raining, and I fell asleep out in the mud.
Can I ask a question here?
Yes, you may, Miss Gray, but I can already tell by your attitude that you're very bored and impatient.
No, I'm not bored and impatient so much as I wanted to clarify.
you are intimating somehow that you were raped, but you were not really.
My wife was preparing the handle of a hairbrush. Are you not hearing what I'm saying? In other words, sir, it was not actually used, though. I don't care if it was. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
We're listening to what you're saying. We're listening to what you're saying. But all you saw her doing was doing what she was doing. I don't even really want to repeat it.
Well, she had some Vaseline in.
I don't want to repeat it, as I said, if you don't mind, Jay.
Well, if you don't want to repeat it, then I don't get to tell my story. And meanwhile, Representative Aiken is being, you know, figuratively raped by the media. You're raping him tonight. You're raping him, Ms. Gray, and you're raping him, Mr. Sandoz. And Santos, it's not Sandoz, was the company made LSD. And I will tell you right now, I know that for a fact, and I believe what you just done did there is on purpose. It wasn't on purpose. I don't know Sandoz from anything else, but I'm telling you, I've made note of that.
All right, let him finish, okay, Mr. Sandoz?
All right, I've made note of it.
Fine, you make note of it.
I've made note of it.
All right, fine, you've made note of it. What is your question?
My question is this. Let's just say that she used the handle of the hairbrush on you. Then what?
Then I'd have to tell you that you wouldn't let me finish what I was saying. What I was saying was I was crying, and I spent the night in the mud outside, and it was raining. I was wrapped in a sheet. I was shaking. I was quivering. Marcy came out and got me the next morning and put me to bed. But at the end of all of that, I would still have to blame myself for pouring champagne into her and feeding her the things that, you know, caviar and all of that.
Had she used the handle of that hairbrush on you?
Yes. That is absolutely hysterical. Thank you for the laugh.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding? What, do you understand?
Thank you very much for the laugh. You make me laugh. You really do. I love you, Larry. You make me laugh.
I'm not laughing at all. I understand your pain, sir. Oh, you sound like a blithering idiot. Are you people...
Hold on. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. I'm glad that Larry survived the handle of that hairbrush. We'll be back talking more about Aiken, women, crime.
Phil Henry.
All of it. Phil Henry Show.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-7445. On the line with us is Jay Sanis and Margaret Gray. Larry Grover was on the line with us. Have we lost Mr. Grover?
Yeah, he hung up. He was...
Well, you got the story, Robert. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Grover had said that he felt that you were laughing at his rape, that he had been raped. But he had not been raped, but that his wife intended to rape him with the handle of a hairbrush.
Right, and she didn't, and I don't think you can even call that rape.
Yeah, he said that would it be a forcible.
Oh, he's an idiot. I don't want to, what does he want?
He said he want to call and talk to David Hall about what's going to happen to you.
Oh, yeah, right. That's right. Jay Sanos with us, as well as Margaret Gray. Get back to this conversation. The story here that I think is interesting. Republican lawmakers and officials spent yesterday urging Aiken to quit the Senate race in Missouri after his August 19th remarks during a television interview. The controversy roiled a race that could be pivotal for control of the Senate, and a decision by Aiken could come as early as today. So here are the Republicans looking to get control of the United States Senate. It's a statement that is... It was an ignorant statement. It's going to hurt the Republicans. I'm not saying that is representative of the Republican Party, but it's a representative comment of a certain extreme element in the Republican Party. And when I say extreme, it's really not extreme so much as it's stupid. It's just a dumb, stupid thing to say. Senator John Cornyn of Texas, chairman of the Republican Party Senate Campaign Committee, yesterday urged Aiken to carefully consider whether he should remain a candidate. He also told Aiken that he's hurting Republican efforts to capture a Senate majority and that the National Party wouldn't spend money to elect him, according to an aide to the committee. That's pretty much telling him, get lost, man. We just, you know, don't need you. Margaret Gray, what do you think that means?
Well, I agree with you, Phil. First of all, I don't think the man is, he can no longer be a serious contender if you can take any member of that party, if you'll pardon me saying this, as a serious contender.
Now, that's the reason, Mr. Henry, why I've tried to keep my politics.
I believe I had the floor.
Yes, ma'am, but I just want to say that's the reason I try to keep my politics out of Citizens Auxiliary Police.
And I absolutely applaud you for that, but I have the floor.
Well, ma'am, you can have the floor, you can have a chair, you can have a desk, you can have curtains, anything you want. You go ahead.
Thank you very much.
Woo!
Frank, excuse me, Phil, I'm going to talk to you about my husband, Frank.
You might make fun of me. I don't care.
Well, can I...
Jay, would you please allow the lady?
I apologize.
Phil, Frank and I were on a vacation ourselves. We weren't at the El Encanto. We were in Italy, and we were at the Roman Steps and at one of the hotels there in Rome. All right, enough said. I was on assignment. I was covering a news story there in Rome. Frank and I had had a lot to drink one night, and I am going to be as delicate as I can and say that I used my finger on him.
Oh, God. You know, why do I got to hear this?
Because I just heard Larry Grover talking about his wife with a hairbrush, at the handle of a hairbrush. That's why.
No, this is Frank.
Go ahead, Frank.
I don't want him to talk about it either, but I...
Let me do it, Frank. So, yes, and Frank enjoyed it, and I didn't hear him screaming rape like a little... What is the word you guys use? Bitch. So,
That is totally uncalled for because we're not talking about a man. We're talking about a woman. And
I just heard a man on here.
Now, let me just get this conversation under control if I could. I don't want to hear about you and Frank any more than I want to hear about Larry and his wife. I don't want this to denigrate into some conversation about what you people do on your vacation.
But the point here, Phil, is that these men that love to minimize rape and they love to minimize its effect on people and on women are crying like little bitches the minute their wife whips out the handle of a hairbrush and begins patting it on the palm of her hand and squeezing lubricant on it. And
okay, all right, I get it.
God almighty, God almighty. This conversation, I think, is below where your program should be, Mr. Henry.
This is exactly what should be talked about. When men have no feeling for women when it comes to this sort of thing, and yet men start crying and shaking and wrapping themselves in a blanket, the minute their wives break out the handle of a hairbrush, put on some boots that go up to the thigh, you know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't, and I don't care anymore about your personal life with Frank.
Can I say something?
No, I don't want to hear anything about it.
So you won't let my husband concur?
No, I don't want to hear any more about it. We're not talking about that because you're not talking about rape now. You guys are talking about intimate details of your sex life. It has nothing to do with this comment.
Excuse me, but why do you say that it doesn't have anything to do with rape?
Ms. Gray, you're talking about your finger and your husband liked it, so where's the rape?
Well, he at first was resisting me.
Oh, get out of here, will you?
Well, if I can't talk about sticking...
Sorry, but I couldn't take it any longer.
I don't blame you. I don't hear about old man Frank, the way he gets it.
Yeah, that's pretty sick, man.
Are you still there, Jay?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm waiting to weigh in on a hairbrush handle. And
okay, go ahead.
Well, I mean, am I the only one that's left?
Yes, you're the only one that's left.
Well, I wanted to say...
Wait, do we have Frank? Okay, now we got Ted Bell.
Yeah, Ted Bell.
Okay, so you know, Ted Bell, don't let me say nothing.
Go ahead and say what you want to say.
All I want to say is that I think that, I want to tell you something right now. If my wife busted out a hairbrush handle on me, let me tell you what. I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere, do anything.
So in other words, that's not a big thing with you.
I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything. Okay? If you remember, Robert De Niro in a movie that we all enjoyed, Taxi Driver.
But I'm not talking about Taxi Driver. I'm talking about you and your wife, and she breaks out some handle of a hairbrush.
Anytime, anywhere. Anytime, anywhere.
What does that mean, anytime, anywhere?
Anytime, anywhere. She breaks out a hairbrush handle, or it's her finger, I don't care. It could be a carrot. I don't care. Anytime, any place, anywhere.
Anytime, any. All right. Well, good going there, stud.
Anytime, any place, anywhere.
Uh huh. How about if it was me?
Anytime. Wait a second, man. You can't tell me.
All right, so,
Oh, my God, yeah, yo, Speed, you're talking about him being a punk?
I just slid that, if you'll pardon the expression, slid it in there. All right, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, so I guess we got that out of our system, I hope, anyway. We also have our News and Information Hour coming up. But it's a comment that is unfortunate, and as well, it will be one that reverberates down through the ages. It's no, I mean, you know what? It's just one more dumb thing that a politician says that is going to get his ass bounced out of an election. It's going to get his ass bounced out of a campaign. I mean, what's the big deal with that, you know? It happens every 4 years. We could go back, and I'm not even going to do it. I'm going to go back in the news, in our archives, and I'll find somebody who said something. I know, Geraldine Ferraro. When she said that whole thing about, you know, people are electing him because he's black, remember that? That was back in the election of 2008. Ted Bell with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Ted, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing really great, and I want to tell you another great job you're doing hosting the show tonight, Ted's of Beverly Hills, a very prized bunch of the Phil Henry Show. And I wanted to call up Phil, and I got to tell you, I wanted to call up and I wanted to share something with you, something that has been a part of my life, and one that I think is very much in keeping with what you're talking about tonight. I think you're talking about the shoe being on the other foot. Is that right? The shoe being on the other foot. And
well, yeah, in a minute.
Can I finish what I'm saying? I haven't finished what I'm saying. I called up to say something.
I thought you asked me a question.
Can I finish what I'm saying?
Yeah, go ahead. I thought you asked me a question.
Can I finish what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about, you're talking about the shoe being on the foot, isn't that right? So
yeah, that's...
Why do you keep butting in?
You're asking me a question.
Forget it. Get Ida, who needs this?
Okay, Ariana. Man, oh man.
Yeah, you kept butting in, though.
I wasn't butting in. This jackball kept asking... All right. In any event, thank you very much, Ted, Margaret, and everyone. I think that the overview on this thing, this guy is dead meat, man. I think he's about as cooked as you can be. His goose is cooked. His every other waterfowl is cooked.
What's waterfowl? What do you mean?
His goose is cooked. You get it? Goose, waterfowl.
Yeah, like his swan's cooked.
Swan? Hey, man, you ever had swan?
Yeah, I think I had swan one time.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, when I asked my dad...
Am I hosting the show here?
Yeah.
But then can I get on with what I'm saying?
What?
Have you ever had swan? Yeah, one time I had swan. What do you mean, have I ever had swan?
No, that's a bud.
Well, what is that supposed to mean?
Well, you're talking about cooked goose. I just wondered if he had swan.
I think I did.
When?
Well, my dad had made goose one time because he said, hey, Bobby, do like a Tiny Tim? And I go, okay, so he made a goose. And he goes, but it could be swan, because they look alike.
No, they don't. They don't look anything alike. Swans and geese.
Yeah, they do. My dad said they do.
Your dad's wrong. A swan is a very big, it's a big bird. It's got a big, long neck. It's much bigger than a goose.
Well, yeah, but it's basically the same kind of bird, don't we?
It's a waterfowl. It's a bird that likes to go swimming, yeah. But, I mean, it doesn't look like a goose. So your old man said that he made swan?
Yeah, he said, I don't know, it could be swan.
I think he was pulling your leg. How old were you?
About 5.
Oh, he was yanking you.
You think so?
Yeah, he was yanking you, man. I don't know, could be swan. Sounds like something my dad would say.
So I guess I didn't have swan.
Oh, okay.
All right, we'll be back here with more on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Man, police say, shot himself in an Arkansas patrol car, had meth in his system. Oh, he... And other stories here to get to here this evening. Peter Thiel sells 20 million Facebook shares. He's getting out, baby, while the getting's good. Is it serious time for Facebook? We'll find out. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. This world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're going to bring on the line here Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley, because they do have the Summertacular that is scheduled to begin this coming weekend, the 25th. Is that it, bud?
Yeah, bam, done the 25th.
The 25th, the Summertacular there at the Summertacular at the Western Estates Homeowners Association, and they're doing some preparation right now. Bobby, how are things going? Your Summertacular, I know, raises money for charities and is looking to do the same thing this year.
It absolutely, Phil, and we've not only raised money for charities, as you know, over the years, we've raised money for our own shops. We have a women's apparel shop at Western Estates where we are able to buy from some of the top designers, and we can sell at a reduced rate for women who can't live at Western Estates but want to wear a lot of the latest fashions and, you know, look as if they do live here. And I know that that sounds a little strange.
Yeah, explain that for me.
We have a very desirable community. A lot of people want to live here but are unable to afford it. The next best thing for a lot of women is to be able to wear the same fashions, look the same way, have the same kind of style and hairstyles and so on that the women who live at Western Estates have. So the Western Estates For You shop is where they can go and buy some of these fashions at a much reduced rate, because we do buy them from the designer, and we pass the wholesale price on to women from the outside.
This is not anything that you buy yourself?
No. We don't need to in the sense that we need the savings. And the shop itself is on the outer, it's outside of the community. So what we have, and we just completed it, Bill, is a drive that looks as if it's coming into the community, but in fact leads right to a parking lot, which is where our shop is. And then you have to turn around and then you exit. So you never do actually get into Western Estates, but it looks as if you have.
What is the point of that?
Well, I think for anyone who is looking from outside, if anyone sees you turning in, they assume that you live at Western Estates, and it gives you a little bit of that sort of cachet. In fact, you're driving right to the parking lot of our shop, and you don't get...
You don't get to go there.
Okay, we have on the line here Karen Deauville. Do you know her?
No, I don't know her. I know of her.
All right, Karen?
Oh, Phil, I just enjoy you so much. Thank you, Phil. I wanted to ask you a question. I want to talk to Ms. Dooley. Are you there, Bobby? You know I am. Oh, Bobby, I wanted to ask you why, and I don't want to embarrass her. She's going to be really angry. Why are you whispering? I don't like that. Bobby, I came to your community today. Was it today? Herb, was it today? Jerry?
Yeah, it was today.
You know it was today. All right, it was today. And I wanted to take a look at your home like the black man did. You remember the black man that you had? I remember. And you said I wasn't allowed in. Can I explain this, Phil? She wanted to go into the community. I told her that the driveway was strictly... Oh, God. Oh, she's having her palpitations. Oh, God.
What's going on?
I'm having a hard time...
My wife's having a hard time breathing since this woman came out.
I have to go, Phil.
You look for a girl thing.
I have to go, Phil. Goodbye. I love your program.
Bobby, are you there? What just happened?
That woman came onto our property today. That woman came onto our property today and insisted that she be allowed in.
She's back on.
Please don't. Oh, Phil, I just want to say one thing. I bought a blouse from her. I love the blouse, Bobby. I love the blouse.
All right, she's gone, Bobby.
That horrible woman came onto our property today and insisted on seeing the homes. I told her I was not a real estate agent. She said, aren't you Bobby Dooley? I said, yes, I am.
Bob, let's lay down, honey.
I have to lay down, Phil.
Are you all right? We can do this another day.
No, I insist on getting my airtime. Hold on.
What is she doing?
Just getting her air. She's breathing. These are breathing exercises you got to do. Okay.
All right, Phil. I'm a little bit better. I'm not so blurry-eyed now. Things are coming into focus. That horrible thing came onto our property and insisted on seeing one of the houses. I told her I was not real estate. She didn't care. She said, "Are you Bobby Dooley?" I said, "Yes, I am." She said, "Oh, God, I want to talk to you."
I breathe deep, buddy. Come on, breathe deep.
Woo! Woo!
Breathe deep, buddy.
I'm breathing deep, Steve. Woo!
Put this in your mouth.
No, not here, not now.
What are you doing?
Hold on.
I'm sorry, Phil.
Ooh. Ooh.
What is she doing?
Doing breathing exercise, the doctor gave me. All right, honey. Hold on, one more time.
All right, I'm fine. Oh God, I feel like the time I did when I was a little girl and we used to do the towel game. Remember, we'd wrap it around our necks and hyperventilate.
Yeah.
That's how I'm feeling now. It's good, but it's it's weird. Phil, I feel weird.
Okay, Ms. Dooley, I can't do much more for you if you can't talk to me. We can do this another time.
I just want to say that horrible woman came onto our property. She wanted to see one of the houses. I said, "No, you may not." Hold on. Ooh. Ooh.
What are you doing?
I'm doing a breathing.
I'm sorry if you're having a hard time breathing. I don't know what's going on, other than to say I know that they have that new shop. It's called the Western Estates For You Store. You can go there and shop the fashions that the women who live there wear. It looks like you're going onto the property when you turn into their parking lot, but in point of fact, you are not. But it gives you the cachet of people out on the street thinking you do live there. And you can pay wholesale prices for the designs that the women there pay full price for. That's all I know about it. And I apologize, ladies and gentlemen, for Ms. Dooley's use of language. I also hope that Ms. Dooley, would you please communicate that, Robert?
Yeah, I called, I said, "Mr. Henry, hope they're better." And she, I don't know if you want to tell me.
Go ahead.
She said, "He don't care about me. He never cared about me." And she slammed her phone down on me. And then she said that she hates you.
Wait a minute. She slammed the phone down?
Yeah, she hung up.
And then she said she hates me?
Yeah.
Well, if she hung up, she couldn't say that to me, could she?
Yeah, but she didn't really hang up.
Yeah, she didn't really hang up.
All right, then she didn't really. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
So I forgot to mention that. It wasn't really.
Yeah. Here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. In any way, welcome to the program. If you're watching Phil TV in HD, I'm wearing the Phil Hendry ball cap with the Phil Hendry insignia, and there is the black Phil Hendry lettering, but we also now have the new Phil Hendry embroidered caps that are in white, and they're made in China, and...
Yeah, you can't say that.
Why can't I say they're made in China? What do you want me to say, man? They're not? You know, let me explain something here if I could.
Man, no, don't do it, man. Don't do it.
Oh, get out of here. Don't do it. Let me tell you something. Because I got into this discussion with this one person one day who wanted to know, where's your stuff made? Unless you buy only American, and I don't know anybody who does, if they do, If there are people out there who only buy American, they're doing it for the political effect short term. You cannot do it long term. Not on the budget most people have. It doesn't mean you don't support America. It doesn't mean you don't love your country. It doesn't mean that you don't want the best for your country. It means you're trying to do business, and you're trying to do business the way everybody does business, which is keep your expenses low and keep your profits high. That is the name of the game. And unless people can step up to the plate and show me how they are only buying American in their business as well as in their personal life, they really need to just step off with their bullcrap about, would you stop made in America or made in America? I got news for you there, Sherlock, that even asking me a question like that, you got to be pretty damn sure to be able to back that stuff up yourself. And a lot of people that will ask you that question, they aren't in business for themselves. They work for somebody else. So their automatic response is going to be, I can't help what my boss does. Oh, pretty easy for you, huh? But if I wasn't, but if you were, yeah. And like we said on one show once, if my uncle had wheels and pedals, he'd be a bicycle.
What?
You never heard that saying?
What's it saying again? What was it saying?
If my uncle had wheels and pedals, he'd be a bicycle.
What's that mean?
What do you mean, what does it mean? It means if my uncle had, if. People say if this, if that, you know.
I heard about, I heard that, like, it only counts in A-bombs. Yeah, in hand grenades and A-bombs.
No, that's different. It's close only counts in hand grenades and A-bombs. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying if is a very big word. If you say, well, if I had my own business.
Oh, okay.
What does it mean?
I don't know about a human being have a wheel and pedal.
Oh, come on, bud.
I mean, even if your uncle had wheels and pedals and he was, I wouldn't want to ride on him.
Yeah, that'd be really weird, man.
Okay, I'm just, God. I wouldn't want you to ride on him. Oh, he wouldn't want you to ride on him.
But if he had wheels and pedals, he would.
I don't know that. Maybe he had wheels and pedals and he only wants, his wife to ride him. You ever thought about that? Besides, I don't have an uncle. None living.
Well, that makes it even weirder. He'd be a ghost.
Yeah, it'd be a ghost uncle. Man, that's all jacked up. I can't even feature that, man.
Yeah, okay, that's way too much, huh? Maybe you ought to cut back on your psilocybin, huh?
Yeah, probably.
In any event, ghost bike, ghost uncle. All right, so I believe that this claptrap about, hey, man, do you buy American? Are you selling American? You know what? Just take a chill, Jim. I'm doing what I can. I'll tell you what, the taxes I pay are damn sure American, and they go to the American Treasury. I don't know what to tell you. I pay my fair share, and I don't break the law, and I've got an accountant. My accountant is so squeaky clean. Mitch, there's no way this guy, like, for instance, you know, this whole thing about taking trips on the company dime, you know, where you write off a certain amount of business trips. I mean, I don't care if it is legit. He only allows me a certain number of so-called business trips a year. And then even if it's legitimate, even if I say, no, seriously, Mitch, I mean, I had to take, let's say, maybe take two or three, maybe only two. And I took five. No, I'm sorry, you only took two. Well, wait a minute, man. I took five. I don't give a damn. That's my accountant.
No, you can't tell him what to do. What's he telling you what to do for?
Because I trust him. I believe in him. I believe when he says to me, you take more than two, and you're throwing a red flag up, and we don't want to be audited, man.
What's that mean? They got the government come in?
Yeah, the government comes in and they look at your books. They look at your debts. They look at your assets. They look at what you're reporting. They look at how much money you got, how much is in your bank accounts. Man, they stick a microscope right up your you-know-what. And I said to him one year, I said, I took a legitimate business expense.
But what was it?
I bought some clothes. I bought clothes for a personal appearance. I had a personal appearance I was going to. It was this animation festival. And I went, I got some clothes, and I paid a friend of mine, who is a person that knows about clothes, she went out and did the shopping for me. So I not only got the clothes, I paid my friend for her time, etc., right?
Like she's an employee?
Yeah, my company paid her. And Mitch is making a thing about it. It's, well, I don't know, man. Well, what are you talking about? Well, you can write off, I don't think you can write off, and finally he went ahead and he relented. I said, You're trying to tell me I can't write off a clothing expense that's strictly for work? And I'm going to tell you this right now. I haven't worn that stuff since. There's not one, except for one shirt. Everything else, I don't think I like it, but I haven't worn it, you know?
That's because you don't go anywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah, start going somewhere, maybe you'll wear it.
Guess why I'm not, the other reason why I don't wear it.
Why?
Because I was too fat then. I've lost 50 pounds, 50 plus pounds.
Oh, that's right, man.
Yeah, but even a jacket?
There might be one or two things that fit me. The jacket's going to fit me, and the sweater, and the shirts. But the pants are way too big, and I think the shirts are basically way too big. I mean, they're huge. All right, so what the hell was I talking? Oh, yeah, so get a hat at the Phil Henry shop. God, what a big, long pitch that was, man.
Yeah, that's almost like a commercial.
No, it wasn't a commercial. But I got to tell you, I don't have any patience with this horse dung. It's like people are opportunistic sometimes with their opinions, right? You know, they don't give a sweet damn about American workers. They don't give a damn about American this or that. All they want to do is bust down on the talk show host, Big Mouth Phil. Aha, let's bust down on him. Like this guy one time, I was on the air in Minneapolis, and these little kids had been killed. It was horrible. They'd been killed in an automobile accident over in St. Paul, and it was a terrible thing. And apparently the family didn't have any insurance, and there was a real crisis as to how they were going to pay for not only the funeral expenses, they didn't have any insurance, I should say they didn't have any money, but also there was another individual injured in the family who had not lost their life, and they needed a hospital money. So they were really in dire straits. This cat calls up, and he says something very, very typical of these opportunistic scumbags. This guy had a problem with legal gambling in Minnesota. Okay?
Yeah. Bell all the Indians.
Yeah, it's like it is in a lot of states. It's Indian gaming. He didn't dig it. He thought they were making too much money. I got to tell you something. Minnesota, for a liberal state, man, they got a lot of people up there that hate Indians. I am not kidding you either.
Wait, what, like regular Indians?
Yeah, like the ones go, those ones?
Yes, those. What do you mean?
Well, which ones are you talking about?
American Indians, Native Americans. And, there's a lot of people in that state. They hate the guts out of Indians. I don't give a damn if they are liberal this or progressive that or Democratic farm something else. They don't like Indians. You want to know why? Because the Indians have got Indian gaming and they're making money. And why not? And I don't begrudge them. I could care less. I hope they make millions. I hope they make so much money they're able to buy the country back. What do you think of that?
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm sort of serious. Yeah, I am. I am sort of serious. But here's the point that I'm trying to make. This guy had a problem with that. So he calls my show. He says, you know, Mr. Henry, I think that the gaming interests in this state ought to contribute some of the money they make. Do you know the money that the Indian gaming interests in this state make and the fact they don't pay any taxes? Why don't they contribute to this family? And
well, are they an Indian family?
No, they were not an Indian family. They had nothing to do with Native Americans. They were just a regular poor family, poor American family. And this guy who had a problem with the gaming interests decided that he would use that moment to beat down on the Indian gaming interests and make them look like heartless bastards because he thinks they ought to pay. He didn't. He could care less about this family and their dead kids. Could care less. And besides, some creep like that, he probably had enough money himself to donate to the family. So anytime somebody says to me, hey, are you the... I don't believe it. I don't buy it for a minute. I don't buy it for a minute.
Don't a lady... She said what she said about whether her product's made in America...
I don't think she cared. I think she just wanted to see whether she could hang one on the talk show host. And guess what, lady? No, they're not made in America. I believe they're made in China. And it's good quality. And it's relatively inexpensive for the quality. And we sell them. And they sell American flags elsewhere that are made in China. And you know that. And I know that. And is it a crime? No, it isn't. Is it a bad thing? From the standpoint of how America doesn't make anything anymore that's competitive, yeah, that's a bad thing. But if you think that to make you happy, I'm going to drive my expenses up and then drive the price up on stuff, forget it. Now, the next thing a lady like that's probably going to say is, well, then why don't you just give it away for free? Sure. When you start giving away what you do for free, then I'll do the same thing. Give me a break. Man.
Man, I don't know, man. You should just say it's made in America.
Sure, that's what I'll do. I'll say it's made in America, and then when somebody gets it in the mail and they see that it's made in China... Where is this hat made anyway? I'm going to look at it right now.
I'm pretty sure it's China.
It is made in Bangladesh. All right.
At least that in China.
Yeah, at least it is in China's right. What difference does it make?
Where's Bangladesh?
That used to be East Pakistan. It's near India.
I don't know where that is.
Yeah, I figured you didn't. All right, we'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show with more of this scintillating conversation. Good Lord, good Lord. Goodness, goodness, goodness gracious. All right, how's Facebook doing, man? How's the price on that stock, huh? Is it sucking, you know what? Let's find out when we come back. World-famous Phil Henry Show and other news. And
truth
visit the shop.
Is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Good hat. Make a promise to you guys. Here is my promise to you. This is a absolute promise to you. I am going to look around this week for an American vendor, American made products only, and I'll look around for a vendor and that deals in the products that we deal in. And very, very simply, we have t-shirts, we have hats. What else we got, bud?
Ted's Beverly Hills hoodie.
The Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie that we have, which right now is $44. That's a hell of a good price because the product is really, really good, man. It's a great quality product. Our hoodie, man, is like for real. And by the way, you know, we talk about our shot glasses or our hoodies or things like that. This is all dishwasher and washing machine safe, man. You ain't putting this thing in a washing machine. Two washes later, the freaking insignia is gone and this and that, you know.
Yeah, no, we tested out the shot glass. And we washed the shot glass, like, what was that time?
Yeah, 150 times in a row.
Yeah, and nothing wore off.
You did what?
We took the shot glass and we washed it 150 times.
Oh, that's really great, bud. That's a great use of water.
Well, I mean, we won't see.
Well, I can understand that you, I mean, okay, so now we know. But, I mean, good old guy.
What?
Well, you guys stood there 150 straight times?
Yeah.
Did you realize how... Didn't you feel stupid?
No, not really. We stand waiting every time, then we take it out and look at it, and then we took a picture of it.
Then you took a picture of it? And do you have the pictures?
No, we got rid of them.
Well, you freaking morons. At least I could have used the pictures. We could have done something with that. I mean, you guys, you watched this thing 150 straight times.
Yeah.
Took pictures. What'd you do with the pictures?
We looked at them.
Yeah, well, that was the time... Remember when we came back? And we had we came back with soft taco, the taquito,
the frozen taquitos.
Yeah,
you guys sat around all night eating taquitos.
Well, yeah, with the guacamole that you made.
Oh, okay. Now I get the picture. Now.
Yeah, but we didn't eat all of it.
Oh, hold on. Now I understand. I made guacamole one night. I made the best guacamole in the world. I come home, it's all gone. There's an empty taquito box, and you guys are passed out on a couch.
Yeah, but I mean...
And what you guys... Hold on, the audience needs to hear this. And what you guys did all night long is you ate taquitos, you ate all of my guacamole dip that I made, and you washed a shot glass 150 times and took pictures of it.
Yeah, but we also look at Spider-Man.
Oh, well... Thank you. That redeems that you were looking at Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So you watched Spider-Man, and then what did you do?
Put it on pause, and then we'll look at the shot glass.
So this was your night, and I come home to no guacamole dip.
You made it for us.
I made it for the three of us, man, not for you two idiots. That's why there wasn't any guacamole dip, and you guys spent the night washing a shot glass, eating taquitos, watching Spider-Man, and taking pictures of the shot glass that you didn't save. You just wanted it for your own self-gratification to see if the thing wore off.
Yeah, but no, we thought about the show, because I said to Bud, I go, and later on, Phil can interview us about how we washed it.
Yeah, dude, we washed it and washed it over and over, and then you can interview us about it.
But you didn't save the pictures. You didn't do anything other than just now I'm talking to you guys, and you realize that...
Yeah, you're spending more time about a guacamole than you didn't even talk about the shot glass.
I can't believe two grown men sat there and washed a shot glass 150 times, ate all of my guacamole dip, left the taquito box laying on the floor.
Well, now that was supposed to be in the garbage. I took the trash out.
Well, it fell out of the trash. And you two guys are, and by the way, I hate to say this on the air, the place stunk. Were you guys, did you guys have gas?
A little bit. Yeah.
I walk into my house and it stinks. These guys have been blowing them off all night. Oh, man.
Yeah, but didn't you understand about a shot glass?
I didn't need you knuckleheads to be washing it 150 straight times. And then you're sitting there watching Spider-Man. I could, well, and you know what I was doing that night? I was out working, man. I was out doing a job, you know?
Yeah, you had to work. A lot of time you do.
Right. And you cats are sitting in my living room, blowing them off, blowing off farts, eating taquitos.
Well, I bet nobody else ever done it.
No, nobody else has ever sat there and washed a shot glass 150 times just to be a knucklehead about it. Look, just believe me when I tell you, and the audience believes me, when I tell them that the thing on the shot glass is washed, you know, you can put it in the dishwasher, it doesn't wash off. And they won't have to come home to their sons or their daughters or their uncles or their brothers sitting in the living room, farting and eating up all the frozen taquitos as well as the guacamole and watching Spider-Man. Which, by the way, that's why I found ground beef jammed in the disc tray.
No.
Yeah, I didn't say that.
No, I didn't do that at all.
Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah, you did, man. I told you.
Did you put that there?
I did not. I had, if I had on my hand.
I told you you did.
You know what? I don't want to ban you guys from my house. You understand that, don't you?
Yeah.
I didn't do it.
But if you clowns come to my home and you stick ground beef into the tray...
I didn't stick it in a tray. It was on my finger when I put the Spider-Man disc in.
No, we watched Messiah of Evil, and then he put in Spider-Man, and that's when the ground beef got wedged.
You watched Messiah of Evil and then Spider-Man, and he sticks ground beef in the disc changer... And
got in a tray.
Okay, well, okay. And thank God I was able to get it out of there and salvage that thing. You know, I just bought that. That's a new, brand new Blu-ray machine. I just bought it. Okay, so you mind being a little more careful?
I'm sorry.
Well, that doesn't get it done, bud. I mean, I know you're sorry, and I appreciate that, but you got to be careful, man. Don't go walking in the I don't even mind you guys eating in the living room. It doesn't matter to me if you eat in the living room. What it bothers me is that you're walking around in there like it's your own personal pigsty, you know? If you're going to have food on your hands and stuff, take napkins, okay?
But I had napkins, so he had his shorts.
Yeah, but they were dirty shorts.
And that's the other thing, but you don't bring a piece of laundry with you and call that a napkin, okay?
I saw him laying there.
I don't care. Use a napkin. If you don't have any napkins, use a paper towel. And if you are going to be changing discs while you're eating, then you got to make sure your hands are clean. Don't walk over there with a taquito in your mouth juggling discs.
I told you.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did, man. I said don't go over there with that.
All right. It doesn't make any difference. I don't argue about this anymore. I've wasted enough time with this. The audience is sitting there going, what the hell is this guy talking about? Ground beef in the disc changer. That's great. Peter Thiel, Facebook angel investor Peter Thiel has sold around 20 million shares in the company, netting a cool $400 million. The lockup period, which prevents inside investors from selling shares too close to an initial public offering, expired last week. Facebook held its IPO in May. The sale of the shares followed a trading plan adopted in May, according to a U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, when the company first went public. More on this story. Facebook shares, the price of these shares were had dropped from the initial offering to a price a lot lower than they had hoped for. But this cat making off with $400 million. We'll talk more about that and other business news. We get back to world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And Kevin. Yeah, he did. No, I didn't. Yeah, he did.
Shut up.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Before I get to this Facebook story, I just thought it was interesting. And, you know, anytime I see this sentence, anytime after a guy has said something really dumb, anytime I see the sentence remains defiant, I don't know whether I want to cry or laugh, you know? In other words, you might as well just have this is the headline. Todd Akin proud of his stupidity. You know, another Todd Akin, proud that he's dumb, today said...
That was that about Todd Akin?
That's Todd Akin, yeah. Todd Akin, defiant, as support withdrawn over legitimate rape claims. And there he is, standing for all the world like he's just the martyr. Just like that guy, do you remember the guy Larry Craig? You remember him?
Uh-oh.
You don't remember him, bud?
No.
Larry Craig was the guy that, I'm a wide guy...
That the guy, guy tried to give a cop a, well, I better not say.
Oh, yeah, I remember that guy.
Yeah, he's a, you know, he got arrested at the Minneapolis airport. Because he's a wide guy, and he stands wide, and I don't know if we bumped. Well, the guy's, his whole lingo, his whole thing was real creepy. Anyway, he stands up there, I'm not a homosexual, I've never been gay. And there's his poor suffering wife. I felt so sorry for that woman.
Why?
Because she's had to live with this weird ass. She's probably in all kinds of denial, too. About all kinds of things. God knows what issues she's got. I shouldn't say. That's you know. But no, I think I will say, because it's, you know, he's a public personality. He's an elected, or he was an elected member of the Congress, and he was lying through his teeth. So, yeah, I think I will say.
You did say you shouldn't say.
Yeah.
I did say what?
You said you shouldn't say.
Well, I'm saying now, okay, is what I'm saying. I've changed my mind.
So you're saying?
Yes, I'm saying. What do you think I'm saying?
Well, you said it wasn't going to say.
Well, now I am saying. What am I saying? I'm listening to you two. Anyway, this guy, Todd Akin, the Republican Party leadership has withdrawn financial and political support from a U.S. congressman who is refusing to resign from a Senate race in Missouri after claiming that legitimate rape rarely leads to pregnancy. As pressure mounted from all sides, Todd Akin, chosen last week as Republican candidate in the closely fought challenge for the Senate in Missouri, apologized for his remarks but refused to step aside. I'm not a quitter, he said on a radio show hosted by former Republican presidential candidate Mike Huckabee. By the grace of God, we're going to win this race. And he's on the Huckabee show. I bet you that gave you a little bump there, Mike. Good for you. You know?
Yeah, probably going to get some ratings on that one.
You know, I wish I had that time slot. That would be a beautiful thing to have that early morning time slot, although I'm just saying that because I really don't wish I had it. I'd have to get out of bed. At what time do I have to get out of bed to do that show?
Probably about 6.
No, make it earlier, about 4.
Why?
Because you got to get up early, man, to do one of those shows? Oh, no. Anyway, I'm not a quitter. By the grace of God, we're going to win. This is a guy that's way in outer space, man. I bet you Huckabee was sitting there going, I don't give a damn whether you live or die. The fact I've got you on my show means I got a nice ratings pop, and maybe the advertisers will hold off, fleeing my show like rats from a sinking ship. He added that the people who had elected him knew he was not perfect, meaning knew he wasn't smart, and that just because someone made a mistake, it doesn't make them useless. No, that's right. It doesn't make you useless. You could go out and stuff envelopes and sell bumper stickers for the guy that is going to be the candidate.
You said spick.
No, I did not.
Yeah, you did, man. You get bumper sticker.
That's not... Will you guys shut up? Bud, what are you saying, man?
I'm just saying you said a bad word.
No, I did not, man. I misspoke. I said bumper sticker.
Yeah, well, that's what these people say. They say they misspoke. And then even if they misspoke, they still said it.
You're almost as dumb as this guy, you know that?
Yeah, but didn't you say that?
No, I did not. No, I didn't say that word. I said bumper spicker. I misspoke. Okay?
Well.
Hey, bud, if you start anything, man, so help me God.
All right, I'm sorry.
You guys, you know, what are you guys? All of a sudden, junior reporters here or something? What are you, Woodward and Bernstein? Ooh, wow, I got the story now. Phil said the word spick. You know, I shouldn't even be saying that because that's an offensive word.
Yeah, I know.
I mean that word, the four-letter word, not spicker. Anyway, I'm not a quitter, says this guy on the Mike Huckabee show who stared at him through glazed eyes and was thinking, okay, how many advertisers are we saving this week with this interview? By the grace of God, we're going to win this. It will take the grace of God. And one of the things that God will reward you for, Representative Akin, is humility. Humility. Knowing that maybe this isn't your time and this is not your job at this particular time. knowing that you're hurting others by not resigning. There's a Republican Party that would like you to step aside because having you in that race is like smelling someone's broccoli fart in an elevator. And that having you in that race is like a dog that took a dump in the corner of the living room, and you're like, what the hell? Why does it smell like? I bet you the dog crapped in here. Yeah, let's start looking for it. You know, have you ever come home to that?
Yeah, one time my cat, man, I had no idea. The cat took a dump under the, what do you call it, underneath the sofa? You know?
Oh, yeah, that's the worst, man.
Yeah, and you couldn't find it?
Yeah, we couldn't find it for like 2 days, you know?
2 days?
Yeah, we don't know where it was.
But did you look for it?
Yeah, we looked for it, but then, you know, my mother was coming over that night, and I didn't have time to not go looking for a turd while she's over.
Your mother came over to your house?
Yeah.
And you're smelling cat crap?
Well, yeah, but I mean, what am I supposed to do?
Keep looking for the cat crap, man.
But my mother's coming over.
Well, dude, did she come into the living room where it was?
Yeah, well, yeah, man. I'm going to sit down. We had tea, you know, and my aunt made tea and everything.
Your aunt made tea, and your poor mother is sitting there smelling cat dung.
Yeah. Well, I told her, Mom, if you smell cat dung, that's the cat, you know. And she said to me, well, have you looked for the cat turd? And I said, yes, I have. Yes, I have. I've done everything that I can. We did everything we could, and there was nothing we could do. I mean, remember that line from Goodfellas, and I remember that.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's great. You remember from Goodfellas. We did everything we could, and we...
Oh, my God, what's wrong with him?
I don't know.
You okay, Phil?
We did everything we could. There's nothing more we could do.
You all right, man?
Yes, I'm okay. I'm laughing my ass off. Don't you know when you say something so freaking funny? I mean, first of all, what was Mavis doing? Get her on the phone, will you?
She might be asleep. All right.
Get Mavis on the phone. I got to talk to her about this. This is beautiful.
She doesn't have a very good sense of smell.
So your mother and you were the only ones that could smell this cat turd sitting there in your living room while you were visiting with your dear mother.
Yeah.
And you found... Is that her? Mavis, honey, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you? Very good. You call me up. I'm watching Animal Planet right now. I want to watch the one that the man... Is my nephew there?
Yeah, Robert.
Yeah.
Where's that show? I asked you about this show where the man got ate by an alligator.
No. It's about a people going to get ate by the shark.
Oh, it's about a man going to get ate by a shark. What's that show?
That's Shark Week.
Yeah, Shark... It's Shark Week. They ain't on yet.
I can't hear you.
Turn her TV down.
Hey, on it. Turn down the TV.
Hold on. I'm going to turn the TV down. What's that show where that man got ate up? You said he got ate.
Yeah, that's called Shark Week, and they're going to have it on the TV.
Shark Week.
Yeah, I can't wait for Shark Week. I love that. Every year I watch that with a Henry Reinhardt. You know, although I'm going to change my beard to Slippery Rock. At some point, I think I will.
I'm going to go out and get the Slippery Rock?
Yeah, tomorrow you go shopping for me, all right?
So you're not drinking Henry Reinhardt anymore?
I love a Henry Reinhardt, and I always will love it, but I want to try to get me a Slippery Rock, you know what I'm saying?
Mavis, we called up because I wanted to ask you about something.
All right.
Okay. Robert says that one time the cat... took a dump under the sofa in the living room, and when your sister came over, Robert and her could smell it, but you couldn't?
Oh, my goodness. Are you talking about Eric?
Yeah.
Yeah, Eric took a dump under the couch.
Who is Eric? Is that the cat?
Yeah, that's our cat.
That was our cat. He's a tomcat. He's a mangy, good-for-nothing, low-life tomcat, and I loved him so much. He's a dirty, filthy, rotten... low moral. There's no morality at all in that animal. It's all the pets we've had and never had any morality. And
yeah, that tomcat man, he had all kind of girlfriend.
Oh, he had girlfriend. I'd hear him out in the back, and I'd say, you dirty, is a real low life, but I love him dearly. And he repaid me by squeezing... That's the thing I hated more than anything else, the way he repaid me by squeezing one off.
That's bad, you know.
Yeah, bad. That cat, Eric, man, my auntie loved the Eric.
Anyway, you asked him about a time he took a dump under the couch so many times. I don't know which time it is.
That the time that my mama come over?
Yeah, that's the time that Thelma came over. You're right. That's the time she came over. She visiting with you.
Yeah, and remember Eric peeled one off?
That's what I said. See, what happened, Phil, was this. Thelma came over. She's sitting down. I had made tea for her, and Robert is there. And I sat there, and I'm asking her questions. And we having a very nice visit, but she has got her nose up in the air, and I see Robert looking under the couch. I do not have a very good sense of smell, you know. So that's why people say my house smells, has got a very funny smell. I keep bleach around. I bleach everything because I don't know what stinks, you know. I used to have Robert wash up in bleach because I don't know what he smelled like from one day to the next. I can't take the chance, you know.
Yeah, she made me out about bleach and everything.
Because your sense of smell is bad.
Because my sense of smell. So she got her nose up in the air, and Robert got his nose up. And I saw Robert got up. He was looking on the couch. I said, what? He said, I think Eric peeled one off. I said, Lord, 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 Lord. I remember I said that. I said, well, and so they finally, they saw it. And there was Eric. You know, he just doesn't care. He has no sense of propriety. He had no respect. There was a load under there.
Jeez.
Yeah. So anyway, and I think it's just coincidence that my mama died like a month later.
Yeah, that's right. My sister died about a month after that, and no one knew for this day whatever done it. She was in perfect health.
What? Why did she die from?
She was in perfect health. This day, no one knows. She died in her sleep. And she died in her sleep. But when they found her, she put a nose clip on. It was the kind you use to go swimming. But she had that on her nose. And to this day, I think in her sleep or somehow, Eric come visit her. And, you know, I think it's an evil eye, you know.
My aunt believe in all that voodoo.
Hey, Mrs. Leonard, you believe in voodoo and an evil spirit?
Is that Dickman? You are dumber. Man, oh, God, are you dumb than a bag full of hammerheads, ain't you?
Yeah, about voodoo.
What about voodoo, honey?
There ain't no voodoo, you dumbass. I told you that, and I've told you that. And
yeah, I just want to know if that there's a cat zombie.
Yeah, man, that'd be awesome. There no cat zombie?
There ain't no cat zombie, you dumbass. I can't.
You go back to sleep. All right, I'm going to take a break here, and we'll be right back.
Well, they're better looking at me like I'm some kind of liar.
No, I believe you, man. I believe you. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Eric the cat, man. No morals. Low-moral cat.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-7445. World famous Phil Hendry Show. As a matter of fact, do we have, I want to get him on the air here. Harvey Wireman is with us because we were just talking about this a second or so ago. How, no matter how wealthy, and you know what, I might as well, the Peter Thiel thing, folks, is simply this. Peter Thiel, the guy who founded PayPal, spent a few dollars investing in Facebook. He just sold off his shares for $400 million. $400 million, a half a billion he made on his sale of his Facebook shares. This is the kind of sale that is allowed by the federal government. It is the selling of shares by an inside investor, which means that he was able to buy these shares cheaper than the initial offering because you are allowed to sell to a certain limited number of inside investors. Inside trading is illegal beyond this sort of grace period, but he made $400 million. Harvey, what do you think of that?
I told the guy, the kid there, Dickman, that Peter Thiel is a very intelligent, very smart guy. You know, he's made up PayPal and everything. Made up PayPal.
Hey, Harvey, I want to ask you something. You and I were talking. Now, what kind of beer do you drink?
What kind of beer do I drink? I drink the, sometimes I get the Pabst Blue Ribbon.
driving, but I drink the Scotch brand. I can get the Scotch brand at Costco, you know.
All right, now that's an interesting thing. You're very wealthy.
I got some money hit, yeah.
Okay, and yet you still drink the same beer you drank 30 years ago, that Scotch brand stuff you buy by the case at Costco, right?
Hey, let me explain something to you. Yeah. Hey, as a matter of fact, while I'm explaining, let me get a beer. Honey, go get me good grandpa beer. Get grandpa beer, honey. About my granddaughter. Now, she's got to be able to know how to get a beer, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so, but don't ask her to get your glasses.
Get grandpa beer. Let me explain something to you. Scotch brand beer is every bit as good as that pea water that you drink. What's that stuff you drink?
Heineken.
Yeah, I wouldn't go near Heineken because at the price, it tastes like you're drinking it right out of someone's toilet. And
you got to be kidding. You don't really believe that.
Yes, I do believe that. Hold on. Thank you, dear. No, I don't want a root beer, baby. Dad, no, Grandpa didn't want. Get your mother. She blew it again.
I knew she. Why didn't you just get your daughter to get this stuff?
Get your mother. Honey, she got me a root beer. I want a beer. I want the Scotch brand beer. Scotch brand beer. No, I don't want what I was just talking to Phil. I was talking to Phil Henry about it. No, I don't want a Heineken.
Yeah.
I don't care what he drinks. I don't care what he drinks. All right, my son-in-law, Dave, drinks that same stuff. Anyway, let me tell you something. Scotch brand beer and poop deck beer, the
Pabst Blue Ribbon?
Yeah, Pabst Blue Ribbon beer are every bit as good as Heineken. And I'll tell you something else, too. You got, you know, Frank, he drinks Cutty Sark. I drink Dewar's. You talk about that Johnny Blue. I wouldn't go near that with your mouth. The hazoo! You know?
So in other words, the point that I'm making here is you got money, Frank's got money, and you guys don't spend any money on your booze, do you?
I don't. What are you talking about, spend money on booze? What does that mean?
Well, you don't go for the high-end stuff.
That's what I don't understand about you. When you say high-end stuff, you must mean it costs a lot. Is that what you mean?
Well, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You run around with your Don Julio, and you what do you spend for a bottle of that?
$50.
You're lucky if you spend it 50. You spend it, I know you're pushing 60 with that, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay. I wouldn't buy a bottle of booze, especially tequila, for $60 if you gave me the money to do it. If you gave me the money to do it for you, thank you very much. And now finally I got a Scotch brand beer. This will do it. I wouldn't do that.
Well,
because you think that spending money means you're getting the good stuff. And again, the lesson in life, as I've told you often, is just because you're spending a lot of money doesn't mean you're getting anything other than urine. All right?
Yeah.
You know, maybe you got that phlegm problem because you've been drinking Scotch brand beer all your life.
You know, that's not a bad thought, but too late now to quit. I love it so. God, how I love it so.
Okay, Harvey, thank you.
Yeah, okay. Go get Granddaddy.
Harvey, every time he asks his grandkid to get something, she screws it up. What did she bring him this time?
Got him a root beer.
A root beer. All right, so there you go. That's the final lesson of the night. Just because you spend a lot of money doesn't mean you're getting the good stuff, you know? But I got to tell you, I never liked tequila. Never in my life did I ever want to go near tequila until I started drinking Don Julio, and now I drink that. That's all I drink. That's all I drink.
Man, you ain't kidding, man. I never seen you drink anything else.
Yeah, except for, well, you drink beer, right?
I will have the occasional beer, yes. And I can't wait. I can't wait for this diet to end, man. I'm at 231 pounds. I mean, this last 10 pounds has been like murder, man. I mean, it has taken me weeks to get to lose 10 stinking pounds. And when I finally get down to 210, man, I'm taking off. I'm going to have me a weekend you'll never forget, man. I'm going to drink all kinds of beer. I'm going to eat all kinds of steaks. I'm going to immediately put the weight back on. I'm just kidding. World famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Henry. And visit us online at The Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and get a backstage pass and enjoy all of the things that we have to offer you at philhenryshow.com. Let's see. The podcast is up. Episode 33. It's a goodie, man. It features Lloyd singing Blue Suede Shoes. You have got to hear this to believe it. Lloyd sings Blue Suede Shoes. on our episode 33 of the free Phil Hendry podcast at philhendryradio.com. Until tonight, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.